the most high name of the most high spirit. In the name of the most high line of Judea, Haile Selassie. In the name of the most high Duvalier and the Tantantmakut, I command you, awaken! Awaken! What happened here?
Give me a break. This is not Friday the 13th part Infinity here.
Hello, everyone out there in internet land or whatever. Oh, God, I'm so tired.
This is a good start.
It really is.
Everyone in the internet.
Everyone in the world, because that's how many listeners we obviously get. This is the GorePress GoreCast, back again after another short
lengthy hiatus. Mm. Let's call a spade a spade.
Okay, we're back after a spade. And we are the same people as we always were. I'm Jamie.
Yeah, and I'm Sarah.
Hello, Sarah. How are you?
I'm fine. Not as tired as you, it would seem.
I know.
That's strange.
In the intervening time since we've been gone, you've had a commentary track up on the feed, and I've got another one to upload, which I've not got around to doing, which I probably should.
Yeah. And we had...
go on.
We had a rather aborted attempt at another commentary, but yeah, maybe we'll get around to finishing that at some point.
I still have that file on my computer, and I was looking at it thinking, I wonder how bad it actually is, and then I listened to the end and I was like, oh god.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll release it, when we're big and like super podcasty famous and that, we can release it as like, look at how fucking amateur we were back in the day. Back in the day before we had virtual space mics and like hover computers and stuff.
Hover computers?
Yeah, why not? It's the future. We can do what we want. Future is unwritten. So today we are going to talk about Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Yes.
To sort of finish off our trifecta we started before of films about films and that.
That we started like back in 2005 or whenever it was.
I think it was earlier than that, wasn't it? We were recording on like one of those birds that Fred Flintstone has.
Yeah, that sounds accurate. It's been a while.
It has been a while, in the words of that guy from that band.
But yeah, we should probably explain why it's been such a long time.
Okay, I'll leave that to you. I don't really remember.
We
recorded the episode, didn't we? And then it
we did.
And it fucked up.
Yes. As you can imagine, we didn't really feel like doing it again immediately.
Yeah, so we thought we'd leave it a few days or a few weeks or something. And then
months.
Now it's 2012.
Shit, how did that happen?
How did that happen? Oh well.
Yeah.
Here we are. We've managed to waffle for like 3 minutes and not really say anything. Apart from our names and the film that we're covering. We're so good at this.
This is why we only do one every 6 months or so.
I guess we are going to try and keep them slightly more regular.
Yeah, definitely.
That would be good. I would like that.
Yes. We've ironed out most of the kinks now, haven't we? So.
Have we?
Yeah.
Ray Davis is going to be upset.
What about Dave Davis?
Oh, he'd be fine with it.
Okay. The more relaxed of the two. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Probably also point out that we haven't rewatched this.
Oh yeah, that's true. We haven't.
Yeah, since we first tried to record it. So
when did we originally record? Was it about September? No, it was earlier than that because I was still in my old flat, so it would have been like June.
I was still in my old house. Yeah, maybe August.
Well, I moved out in June, July the 18th, maybe.
Crap, June then.
So.
Oh God.
That's a really long time.
Yeah.
We've seen each other twice since then. In real life.
Yeah, and still not done this.
Yeah, we're bad at this. Yeah, oh well.
Right, yeah, so we're basically working from memory and notes.
I was reading through some of my notes earlier and was like, what the fuck does that even mean?
So, yeah, this should be interesting.
I don't know,
maybe to start us off, we both watched Scream 4 recently, didn't we?
We sure did. How did you find Scream 4?
It wasn't great, it was good fun, I suppose. As a kind of throwaway film, and it was true to the legacy of the original.
I'm gonna surprise you here. I'm gonna fucking disagree with you. I fucking loved it.
Really?
Yeah, the best one since Scream 1, I thought.
Oh, it was like head and shoulders above the third film.
Well, of course.
But that wasn't difficult. Yeah, I don't know. I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't give a shit if I never saw it again.
I loved it. I mean, it had all the same sort of twisty elements of the first one, and like the ending came out of nowhere. And it's, I think it stands up like the first one, obviously sort of dissected horror and slasher culture, or slasher film culture, and this one sort of accurately lampoons, I guess is the only word I can think of. The sort of internet, like the internet culture and the sort of reality TV culture and stuff like that. I thought it was timely. I thought it was well written, and I really liked it, like a lot. I liked it a lot more than I expected to.
Yeah, I enjoyed it more than I expected to, if I'm honest. My issues were with, it depends how spoilery we're going to be, my issues were with the beginning sections and the end, to be honest. The middle bit was great.
What do you mean the beginning section? Like the sort of inception-like...
The false starts.
Yeah, I really liked that. I thought it was funny.
No, I don't know. It got to the third one, and I was watching it with Matt, and I turned around and I was like, is this the whole film? Is this just what they do for an hour and a half? But yeah.
That would be fun, I think.
That would be a huge fuck you to everybody who likes Scream, though. If that was the entire thing. Yeah, and I hated the end.
The very end, or the climax?
The climax was fine. It was the very end that just felt really tacked on. And it just made you suspend disbelief a little bit too much for my liking.
How spoilery do we want to get? Because I have something interesting that I wanted to say.
We can be quite spoilery. I think consider this warning. We are going to be spoilery.
Okay. I just got a text and now I've forgotten what I was going to say. They're definitely not. Not English words, anyway.
No.
All of our troll listeners will know exactly what I'm saying. I really liked how... I don't know if it was leaked by the studio or by Wes or whoever, but they sort of said that one of the main characters would die.
Mm-hmm.
One of the sort of previous characters would die. And so you spent the whole time waiting for it, and then you're like, oh shit, Sydney's got stabbed. Is Sydney going to die? Oh shit. Fucking Courtney Cox's weird face has got stabbed. Is she gonna die? Oh shit, there's Dewey. There's a killer there. Shit. It made it really tense for me. Just because of that sneaky bit of information that got out. And obviously it was done on purpose.
Yeah.
To sort of, I guess, drive you to the cinema and also to inject that sort of fake tension that may or may not be there. If you didn't already know that. And I thought that was really clever.
Yeah. I didn't actually know about that, to be honest, but yeah, that's quite canny.
Yeah. And like the idea that it was a whole new generation, so maybe the older folks could die.
Mm.
That made it interesting too. And also Hayden Panettiere is just lovely.
Oh, I don't know. Her haircut in that movie bothered me.
But the idea that she liked the geeky dude, obviously it was put there for people like me to be like, oh, but she totally liked me because I like horror films and that.
I guess so, yeah. But bad hair.
Well, I like a girl with short hair.
I don't know, it was too kind of newsreader do for my liking. She looked like a young Republican.
She did look like a young Republican.
But aside from that, yeah.
Yeah, so why else didn't you enjoy it? Was it just the beginning and the end?
No, don't twist my words. I did enjoy it.
Okay.
I didn't not enjoy it, anyway. I thought it was fun, but a little bit too throwaway for me.
But I think that was maybe a comment on, like, the media of now, where everything... The media of now, that's a thing. The sort of modern media where everything is a bit throwaway. Or do you think it was just...
No, I don't think it was intentional. I don't think it was throwaway intentionally to make a statement. I just think... I don't know. I think the whole franchise is a little bit redundant now. I like what they did with it. I like the revamp. A lot of it was really clever. There was some definitely very clever dialogue in there, but I think there was also a lot of "we think we're so clever, but it's falling a bit flat" dialogue.
Yeah. I was annoyed. One thing that really annoyed me was that they just essentially redid Billy and Matthew Lillard's character.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that was a surprise because you were like, well, they've already done that, so it can't be them. And then it kind of was.
Yeah.
And that sort of annoyed me. But it also surprised me. So, yeah.
So what would you give it out of 10 anyway?
Probably like a 6.5.
Really? Even though you loved it?
Well, maybe I overstated it. I liked it a lot. I thought it was really good and really clever.
Yeah.
But it's not more than a 7 out of 10 at all. So maybe like a 6.5 or a 6.75.
If that was a thing.
I think you can go for a 0.25s. As long as it goes in...
In increments of 0.25.
Yeah. I don't want to give it like a 6.89. But
a bit too specific, perhaps.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know whether... No, I probably would settle on about a 6. Because I thought it was good. I thought, well, for the most part, it was good. It was quite solid. But I think the whole thing is just a little bit redundant now. And like I said, I don't think it's got a massive amount of rewatchability about it.
I guess a lot of twist films don't, do they?
Mm. But it was entertaining for what it was.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Did you see the Fright Night remake?
I haven't yet, actually, no.
I really liked it.
Did you? Because I've heard it's kind of dividing a lot of people. A lot of audiences. It's either I love it or hate it kind of thing.
Yeah. I really liked it. It's very... It's pretty close to the original.
Mm.
But a bunch more modern, obviously, because it just happened. And it's really good. It's really fun. Like, we don't get a lot of horror films these days with kids in the lead.
No.
Like, proper kids in the lead. And that's... And this guy is not a kid. But I find that really strange. Do you not find that really strange?
I don't really understand that sentence.
No, I sort of changed it halfway through.
You did.
But, like, back in the 80s...
Yeah.
And the early 90s to an extent. If you look at, like, the bulk of horror films...
Mm-hmm.
Or not, maybe not the book, but like a good chunk of horror films.
Yeah.
They all had like proper children in. Apparently something just happened. Maybe I'm still recording. Who knows what's happening right now? Right, okay. Because my audacity is being weird, we should end this bit now and we'll come back in a minute and talk about Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Sorry, nobody down here except the horror podcasting community's most unwanted.
Agent Matt, Agent Steve, I'm Agent Jody. I've been assigned to do a weekly podcast with you.
Do you believe in the possibility of transatlantic podcast?
That would be completely illogical. Given the time difference, the dedication required would exceed a human being's capabilities.
Unless, of course, the podcast involved a TV show about extreme possibilities. A melding of horror, sci-fi, and mystery.
When Dead Lantern offers us no weekly podcast, might we not finally turn to an X-Files podcast as a possibility?
A culmination of review, analysis, and intellectual discussion on a science fiction television phenomenon by international participants. Could such a thing exist?
The Explodey Files, a weekly X-Files podcast brought to you by DeadLantern.com. I want to believe that it won't suck.
Right, we're back to talk about Wes Craven's New Nightmare after a slightly longer break than we were expecting, just because Sarah's rubbish at computers.
And we got a little bit carried away talking about Birdemic.
Yes, we did. I really think we should cover it for the podcast. maybe a commentary track, I think.
Let's do it. Let's do a kind of animal-themed month.
I don't know. I really would like to do a commentary track.
Okay.
I guess we'll see what happens. What else can we cover in animal
does
month?
Does that mean one of us has to buy it, though?
No. Yes. Of course we have to buy it. We'll buy all the movies we review. What else can we cover in an animal month? Just sort of spitballing.
I don't know, what was the bear one that you wanted to do?
Grizzly?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you can handle Birdemic and Grizzly in the same in the same few weeks.
Maybe not, then. I don't know. We'll have to think on that, because we've got the next 2 months planned already.
Yeah, we do. Do you remember what they are? I'm going to write them down right now. I know this isn't on the air stuff.
Yes.
There was a clown-themed one, wasn't there?
Yeah, that was... I still can't remember the third film we picked for that. But the next one was like standalone slashers that haven't been remade and don't have sequels.
Yeah, I stole that idea from Outside the Cinema.
Oh, Jamie!
Well, they only did it as a list, though. And I thought it'd be interesting to look at why they were sort of standalone. Like, why no sequels are made and if there was some sort of theme.
But anyway, yeah, we decided on Pieces, The Burning and Happy Birthday to Me.
Yeah, we did. I'm going to write those down because I've not got these notes anymore. Pieces, The Burning. I think The Burning might be getting a remake.
Really? We better do that quickly then.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to do it in the next 8 months or something.
I'm not sure we can manage that.
Right, that's on my post-it. On my wall with all my other post-its. That just looks weird because it's a clown. Cool. Let's talk about Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Let's.
This is from 1994.
Yep.
Obviously directed by Wes Craven, coming back to the franchise after a lengthy absence.
Yeah. Written by him as well, was it?
I think so.
Seems
I can
to
find
that
out because I've got the IMDb page here.
You do that?
No, I don't, because I went off because we started talking about the IT crowd. Wait, where are you? Tell me who the director is.
No, we know who the director is.
Writers, Wes Craven and Wes Craven. So, maybe a bit of an adaptation kind of theme going on there. It stars Heather Langenkamp as Heather Langenkamp.
Yep.
I found this version of Heather Langenkamp way more annoying than Nancy.
Yeah.
I've never been a big fan of Nancy.
She was
kind of always wanted her to die.
Yeah, she was a bit wet, wasn't she?
Yeah. Also stars Robert Englund as Robert Englund. And according to the credits, it stars Freddy Krueger as himself. I was called him Freddie Mercury, though.
That would have been a whole different film.
Imagine that.
It's almost kind of intriguing. Yeah, don't forget John Saxon.
Of course, the John Saxon.
Yeah.
And David Newsome, as well as future appearances from Wes Craven as Wes Craven and some of the production team of the original films.
Yeah.
Which I only realised from watching Never Sleep Again.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Have you watched that yet?
No, we have talked about it. I still haven't watched it.
It's a slog, but it's
like 4 hours or something, isn't it?
It really is, yeah.
No, I keep meaning to watch that.
Oh, my coffee's gone totally cold. Will you just describe the plot slightly while I top my coffee up?
I can read the IMDb description, but it's a bit short, so you'll have to hurry up. A demonic force has chosen Freddy Krueger as its portal to the real world. Can Heather play the part of Nancy one last time and trap the evil trying to enter our world?
Cool.
Told
can
you.
Can she? Falling over. This is what happens. I my room is so cluttered.
This is what happens when you wake up at 4 p.m.
Yeah, there it is.
Maybe don't do that.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's really not. I hate. This is just a little window into my life here, listeners. I've got myself into this ridiculous sleeping pattern where I just can't sleep. I sleep for maybe 3 or 4 hours a day between the hours of like 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. which is more than 3 or 4 hours.
It is,
but,
rather, yeah.
But it's generally between those hours.
6 or 7 hours.
Yeah, it's really annoying. I'm trying to get out of it, but I just can't. But it does mean that I could just spend my entire evening just watching film after film after film.
Which can't be bad.
But then I think, oh, maybe I'll watch The Smurfs. And then I hate myself.
Well, as anyone would, surely.
I'm just going to go slightly off topic. I thought The Smurfs might be really cute and fun.
And it wasn't?
It was the worst fucking piece of shit. It wasn't the worst piece of shit. It wasn't even the worst piece of shit I watched yesterday. But it was fucking terrible.
What was worse that you watched yesterday, then?
I watched a film called Burn, Hollywood Burn.
Oh, no. Why would you do that to yourself?
Have you seen it?
The Alan Smithy crap.
Oh, God, it's so bad.
That's quite old now, isn't it? When did that come out?
Yeah, it was like 94.
That was bad. Why would you do that?
Why did you watch that?
I don't know. Why did you watch it?
I thought it might be funny. I've got myself into this habit of really enjoying, or not really enjoying, but watching sort of these lost comedy films with massive.
No, that was lost for
casts.
A reason.
Yeah. So bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was. I gave it 0.5 out of 10.
Shit, that is bad. Yeah. No, I think I would give it the same, actually.
It was fucking dire.
So yeah, nobody watched that, ever.
Nobody watched it. Unless, I don't know, you're some sort of masochist.
Yeah, glutton for punishment.
Yeah, it's really bad. If you imagine, like, The Return of Bruno, but, like, less funny. I mean, I quite like The Return of Bruno, just because you get to see Bruce Willis hang out and sing stuff. But it's like that, but bad. But badder. Way badder. So, yeah. Welcome to the Go Fresh Gorecast.
Again.
So, yeah, Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Right, just... It's relevant, don't worry. The taglines, are you on IMDb?
Go on.
The taglines, the default one on the main page, does that make sense? Should that make sense? Am I missing something?
This time staying awake won't save you.
No, that one makes sense. The tagline... I look like an idiot now.
From the creator of Nightmare on Elm Street.
No. The tagline I've got here, and just let me... I am on the right page. Is he's back and he's scarier than any witch! !
I don't think that's a real tagline.
Well, it would be weird if it was, but that's the default one that I can say.
Well, the default one for me is dieses Mal nutzt es nicht, wenn der Wacht blest.
I'm sure that was.
That was the one that was on all the major posters.
Yeah. In Germany, perhaps. Yeah, I'm sure you've just offended millions of Germans that won't necessarily
have
be
millions
listening
of German
to this.
Listeners.
Anyway, crap, I just spilled tea on my keyboard.
Welcome to the Gorecast Podcast.
Oh, we should just change the name. Can we change the name of it and just call it the Gorecast Failcast or something?
The Gorecast Chat Balls.
That would be more appropriate.
But... I guess that tagline makes sense because he is scarier than any witch. Any witch I've seen.
Yeah.
And like, if Buffy's taught me anything, witches aren't really that scary.
Okay, so...
Because wicked good and love the earth and here.
Let's forget about that anyway. Let's talk about the actual film.
Okay. it's. I find it really exciting. I can think back right to the last time I watched it. And as soon as you see the New Line logo, it's like, yeah... This is going to be a Nightmare on Elm Street film. Like I
do New Line only make Nightmare on Elm Street films?
No, but like that was the the franchise that made them popular. That was what made them a studio, really, because it did so well. Mm. And so I just always associate that New Line logo. I guess it's from when I was a kid watching the Nightmare on Elm Street films. I guess I just sort of associate that New Line logo with Freddy. So I got a bit goosebumpy, which, whatever. Yeah. I think it's instantly distinguishable from the other sequels. Like, it jumps straight back into almost like a remake of the original scene from the first. The original scene from the first movie? From the first scene from the original movie.
Yeah.
And that's fun. And yeah, and it's like it just sort of sucks all the campiness and all the silly stuff from like the third one onwards. It just sucks it out of it. It just reminds you that Freddy is a badass and not just the Joker or whatever. Mm. Even though the Joker's a badass, but you know what I
mean. Ah, Joker.
Yeah. The Riddler. Let's say the Riddler. Not the Joker, but the Riddler.
Yeah. We really should have rewatched this, shouldn't we?
Yeah, probably. I think I can talk quite okay about it. Are you struggling?
I have notes, like, some of my notes, for example, are the viewer has to have at least a vague knowledge of the... And that's where it ends. So you might have to help me out.
Well, I guess the viewer does need to have a knowledge of the Nightmare on Elm Street films.
Assuming,
at least the first one.
Assuming that's where I was going with that sentence.
Well...
Who knows?
I can't imagine you going anywhere else with it.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure I know where my own mind goes sometimes. Anyway, so you take the lead on this one. I'll just try and chip in where I can.
Okay.
If my notes make sense.
It is important to have at least a cursory knowledge of Nightmare on Elm Street and Freddy.
Yeah.
And if not, at least like a knowledge around it, like of the sort of celebrity of Nightmare on Elm Street as a franchise.
Does anybody not, though? I think even non-horror fans have got at least a vague knowledge.
Would you say that Freddy is the most recognisable face in horror?
As opposed to who?
As opposed to anyone else. I guess, like, do you think people might know who Freddy was over, say, Jason or Michael Myers or Pinhead or...
I think it might be...
Crispin Glover in Friday the 13th Part 4.
I think it might be a pretty close call between Freddy and Michael Myers.
Yeah.
I think it would be between those two. What about you?
I kind of think that Freddy might be the most famous. But I don't really have anything to back that up.
Oh, it's difficult to say. Amongst our generation, probably.
I guess with Jason or Michael Myers, they never really had that crossover appeal because they always stayed as fairly scary characters, apart from, obviously, Jason X.
Don't knock Jason X.
I love Jason X, but, I mean, yeah, it's not good. Mm. But whereas Freddy had a sort of almost vaudevillian character in the sequels... Making him maybe slightly more accessible to the common movie watcher.
Maybe. I wonder what did better, the Halloween remake or the Nightmare remake? Both were shit, as far as I'm concerned.
I still haven't seen the Halloween remake.
Damn. We've talked about this loads.
I need to watch it, though.
I suppose.
Like, at least for like academic reasons or something. I've got to watch it.
I bought it. Didn't you say you bought the second one first?
I thought I bought it, and then I got it home and took the sticker off and realised I bought Halloween 2.
Yeah, which is worse.
What if I love it? What's going to happen?
You probably will, actually.
I really love the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake.
I do. Well, perhaps love is too strong a word. I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean. I don't love it.
I've watched it quite a few times. I own it.
I've only watched it once, but I really liked it.
Yeah.
But that kid that looks like Screech really bugs me.
How come?
I don't know his face because he just—I guess because he just looks like Screech.
That would be enough to bother me. Yeah.
What's his name? Eric Balfour. That's his name.
He's not in it for very long, though, is he?
Is he not? I don't remember. I watched something else with him in it. One of those sci-fi giant creature.
Skyline.
No. I mean, one of those like Sci-Fi Channel giant killer crocodile type films or whatever it was. I think it might be Dino Shark or something like that.
Wow. His career's on the up and up then?
Yeah. Like, he's in the same boat as Eric Roberts.
I love Eric Roberts. What's wrong with Eric Roberts?
I love Eric Roberts too, but, I mean, you can't really... You never really say that his career's going from strength to strength, can you?
You clearly haven't seen him do martial arts in DOA.
I really have. I love DOA. What did I see Eric Robertson recently? Something. I have to go have a look at Eric Roberts right now.
He's in loads of good films. He's constantly working. He's in The Dark Knight, The Expendables.
Oh yeah, he is in The Dark Knight.
Look how many post-production... Oh my god, look how many credits he's got.
Oh look, he's essentially the white Danny Trejo.
He is. Jesus.
What did I see him in? What the fuck? Chillerama, that's what it was.
I still haven't seen that.
You should watch it. I think you would like it a lot.
Is it an anthology film, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's Adam Green does a bit, and then Joe Lynch does a bit, and then my favourite, what's his name? Adam Rifkin.
Mm.
Also known as Riff Coogan, who directed Psychopath Returns, does a bit.
And Detroit Rock City, didn't he?
And Detroit Rock City,
yeah.
He does a bit, which is the best bit, I think, Wadzilla, which is about a giant killer sperm.
Oh, he played Eric Roberts in Entourage.
He did play Eric. He's like, he takes them all out to Joshua Tree and then gives Ari Gold acid.
Oh,
it's
yes.
A really good episode.
Yes, I have seen that. I think I'm like two series behind on that at the moment.
That means you don't know what happens at the end.
I don't.
Oh my gosh.
Don't ruin it.
Okay. Does that mean that you've not seen Vince get addicted to coke yet?
Nope.
Oh wow.
Thanks for that.
Well, it's hardly. It's not like he's addicted to coke. Oh no, it's sorted.
Anyway.
Yeah. Wes Craven's New Nightmare. This also stars the kid that's Gage in Pet Sematary and the autism kid in Mercury Rising. And he's got this really weird face. He kind of looks like if Pinocchio, at the end of Pinocchio, where he becomes a real boy.
Mm.
But if you imagine that Pinocchio was like a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Okay.
That's what I think he looks like. He's got that weird, those weird like massive expressive eyes that look almost doll-like. And there's a really rad scene where he tries to kill himself. And, like, Freddy's not involved, as far as, like, physically at least, or visually.
Well, he's not in it visually a lot in the film, is he?
No.
If I remember rightly, it's more like his presence is just kind of hanging over the entire thing, rather than you getting to see him very much.
Yeah. But, like, that scene, like, Freddy's not involved, and, like, there's this crazy look on John Saxon's face. And just, like, the way it's all presented, the music and everything, it's fucking terrifying.
Hmm.
So tense. So tense. And, like, that's what Wes Craven does. He's a master. I mean, he's done some shit.
He has, yeah.
Like, we've all done shit.
I don't know, I think his output kind of veers pretty wildly between absolute turds and really, really amazing.
What was the film he made recently? My Soul to Take, is that what it was called?
Yes. Was that actually him? Or was it one of those Wes Craven Presents jobbies?
Wes Craven Presents jobbies.
Trust you to lower the tone.
He
wrote it.
Did he not direct it?
He did direct it.
He wrote the remake of Pulse.
Shame on you, Craven. That was shocking.
He didn't direct it, did he?
No.
He did Cursed.
Cursed was...
Is Cursed any good?
Awful. Abysmal. Really, really bad. Vampire in Brooklyn.
Vampire in Brooklyn is great.
Mm.
And Red Eye. I really liked Red Eye.
It wasn't too bad.
It was really good, like, two-hander.
Like, yeah. I mean, it wasn't that thrilling for a thriller, but it was quite enjoyable fluff, I guess.
I think that would have been a bad film. Had he not had Rachel McAdams and Cillian Murphy.
Yeah.
But they could just carry it. I mean, Cillian Murphy's so fucking charismatic.
Hmm. He is a very good actor.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. So, yeah. I mean, when he's not doing Scream or Nightmare on Elm Street, effectively, Wes Craven isn't a very good director.
No.
strange.
I mean, where, how do you rate the early stuff, like Last House and?
I love Last House.
Yeah.
And
that was his first film, wasn't it? Was that his first ever?
I think so. His first big one, at least. Yeah. And like, I don't love The Hills Have Eyes as much as everyone else.
No.
But I mean, it's good. I didn't like the Alejandro Aja remake either.
No, we've talked about
this. A lot of people
did
like that.
I quite enjoy it. It's not great, but I don't hate it. I don't feel very strongly about it either way.
I totally forgot that Wes Craven directed Deadly Friend. Have you seen Deadly Friend?
I'm drawing a blank. Should I know it?
Mama Fratelli gets her head mashed in. It's really fucking good.
I should know it then.
You really should.
Why don't I know it?
I've got that on VHS. Yay. Yay for me. Yeah. Let's go back to New Nightmare. You can see...
Why bother?
You can see, like, a really conscious effort to make it scary again.
Yeah. Do you think he succeeds?
I think it's definitely scarier than anything past two.
Yeah, I think
and
it's still...
And two's only scary because I'm scared of gays.
Okay.
That's not true. I'm just kidding there.
I think we might have lost two of our five listeners now. It can be offensive to non-gay people. Anyway.
No, it can't. You can't get offensive.
This shit has gone just too weird now. Anyway.
Yeah, but like... I mean, the second one's kind of scary. It's not the first one, but I mean, there's some stuff in there that's really... really pretty creepy.
Yeah, I think there are still pretty few scares in this. I think you're right about being probably the scariest one since the second. But
yeah.
I think there are still relatively few genuine scares in it. No real jumpy moments that I can
No, but
recall.
I mean, I think the scariness is more like the creep factor and like how it's really sort of broody and tense and atmospheric is the right word. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it's the first one since the second that's kind of gone... Well, you touched on this earlier anyway, I'm just going to repeat what you're saying, but it's the first one since the second that's kind of really gone back to the roots, to what Craven had in mind for Freddy before he went all... not comical, but you know what I mean.
We definitely did go comical.
Yeah.
do you think that they made a conscious effort as well to distance themselves from the sequels by calling it something different?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Like, it's interesting that it's not called Nightmare on Elm Street 7.
Yeah.
Or 8, or whatever it would be. I think it's 7, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they've still got the nightmare in there, and I don't think they need the full title when it's accompanied by that iconic imagery. It can't be anything else, can it? So I think
no,
they were probably fairly confident that people would know what it was anyway.
But you might like if you were in like that 1% of people that maybe isn't familiar with the films, you might see it and go, oh, this is Wes Craven's new nightmare, this is a completely separate thing, I'm gonna go watch it. I wonder if it still stands up to people who don't know.
I don't know, actually. I was thinking about that. I don't know, maybe not. I think you'd just miss too much, wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe.
I think some of it you might enjoy, but I think overall, a basic knowledge of it is going to be quite essential, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, maybe not essential, but definitely important. Because, like, the film still works as a sort of standalone piece.
Mm.
But I mean, it's Freddy for a reason.
Yeah.
And so I definitely think it would be important to have a knowledge. Yeah. And I also think that Wes Craven makes a lot of digs at the sequels.
Yeah.
Quite
overtly.
Yeah, it's almost like passive aggressive.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, There's a scene where the Heather's on the talk show, mm-hmm. and like Freddy comes out and he's sort of totally working the crowd, and it's really silly and stupid. And I think that's definitely a dig at like what Freddy became.
Oh yeah, rightly so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you imagine what. Imagine Dream Warriors, but with Nightmare on Elm Street 1, Freddy in it. It wouldn't work.
No. No, it wouldn't. I'm assuming you've seen the remake of the original.
I haven't.
Right? You haven't?
I haven't seen it, no.
I won't talk about it then.
When we lost that quiz, fucking shit.
which we're not still bitter about, honestly.
I was bitching about it the other day. I'm fucking still angry about it.
To anyone who doesn't know, this was a Halloween horror quiz.
Yeah.
That we came
where
second
a few members of the Gore Press team got together and
lost.
Came second in a quiz.
Yeah. By half a point, though.
By any rights, we should have fucking won it.
We should.
By half a point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've forgotten what you were going to say now, haven't you?
No, probably not. And one of the prizes was the. That Nightmare on Elm Street DVD, and I thought it was the remake, didn't I? But it wasn't. So I've yet to see it.
You're not missing out.
I can imagine the rapey McActerson. He's played a rapist in like three things. He's not really a rapist.
Are we talking Jackie Earle Haley?
That's his name.
probably should. Just clear up that he's not an actual rapist.
I did just say that he's not an actual rapist, but he has played like a paedophile like in a bunch of movies.
I can only think of two.
Well, two is a bunch. How many bananas do you need?
Two's more than most people.
Yeah, I think it's maybe three. I always get a bit mixed up with Billy Bob Thornton as well, which is weird because they don't look anything alike.
No. Sorry, now I'm just picturing the remake with Billy Bob Thornton as Freddy. Wow, no. That might have been worse. But anyway,
I'm just picturing a movie where Billy Bob Thornton's a slasher, but just as himself. I could totally see that.
That would be quite interesting.
Sort of like a JCVD, but with Billy Bob Thornton, and he's a killer. Anyway,
watch that.
I would watch it too.
Yeah. But yeah, we were talking about Scream 4 earlier.
Yeah.
And of course, New Nightmare is the precursor to Scream in almost every way, isn't it? I mean,
it wasn't the first overtly self-aware horror film. Student Bodies is really self-aware. It's a spoof, but I mean, it also functions as a horror film. And when was The Dead Hate the Living? I think that was before New Nightmare as well. New Nightmare was what, 97? Like
94.
What am I talking about? I need to find out when The Dead Hate the Living was. It might have been around the same time.
But yeah, I mean, he reuses a lot of the same themes. And
well, I'm talking shit, The Dead Hate the Living was like 2000.
Was it?
That can't be right, surely.
Dear God. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, yeah, well, Student Bodies...
If IMDb says it's so, it must be right.
Am I even thinking of Student Bodies? Well, whatever that. I mean, there's that sort of slasher spoof. I think it's called Student Bodies, but I can't remember for sure. Which is essentially a scary movie. Mm. So not only, I mean, it makes a lot of the same jokes as Scary Movie 1, the first Scary Movie. So not only does it. Also, Scary Movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Scream is a comedy, effectively.
Yeah.
It's almost like a comedy horror.
I'm not sure I'd describe it as a comedy.
It's very funny.
It's got comedic elements. If you know anything about horror films, there's a lot to laugh at. But I wouldn't call it a comedy as such.
But, like, the idea of spoofing a film which is... overtly comedic is very silly.
Well, yeah. Made a lot of money from it, though.
Yeah. Are they doing another one? I heard there's another sequel in the works.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me. Right,
but
I'm
yeah,
gonna.
So
wait, I'm I've been holding this Wii for ages. We're just going to have to pause this for a second. Right, back.
Where were we?
We're talking about student bodies and the fact that Scream might be considered a comedy, and then we got into Scary Movie.
Yeah, well, fuck all that. Let's get back to New Nightmare.
Yeah.
I really love how swarthy and creepy, quote-unquote, real-life Robert Englund is.
Mm.
He really comes across like that in documentaries I've seen as well.
I can't remember seeing him in any documentaries, so I'll have to take your word for that.
Well, I mostly mean, I guess, Never Sleep Again. But also, like, Scream and Scream Again was the Mark Kermode documentary about horror films. Mm-hmm. And I think he's in what was that one that comes in The Last House on the Left box set? Go Into Pieces, is that what it's called?
The slasher documentary, yeah.
Yeah, The Rise and Fall of the Slasher film or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure he's in that, isn't he?
Oh god, I thought it's been a while since I've seen that.
He is just like a rent-a horror head now, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been in a lot of crap lately.
I watched The Adventures of Ford Fairlane the other day, and he was in that, and he made me laugh a lot.
Nah, not familiar with that.
It's an Andrew Dice Clay film about a sort of an offensive Italian-American rock and roll detective who goes around saying "Gabagoo" and stuff like that. It's really funny. I really enjoyed it a lot more than I should have done. Yeah. So, I mean, I think generally, as I was saying just then, Robert Englund is a creepy presence, even when he's just sort of not being creepy.
Mm. Yeah. Do you think that's intentional?
I think he's just like that. I think maybe he's not, though. Maybe it's just because, like, we see him so much and associate him with these creepy characters.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time you saw him play, like, a nice guy? Or at least a nice guy that doesn't turn into a bad guy somehow.
The last film, I think, was probably... God, I can't even remember what it's called now. Heart something or other. It was absolutely terrible.
Oh, I've got that. It's the picture of him eating a heart on the cover. Heart something. Oh, fucking tits. What is it?
Shit. It's absolutely terrible.
I've not
Heartstopper.
I thought Heartstopper, and I was like, no, that's a song. That's
no, like it's definitely folk song. It's definitely, yeah, Heartstopper, but he's the sheriff in that, I think. And he's not in it very much.
Of course he's not in it very much. This is what he does now. when he's not doing, like, sort of essentially look at me, I'm Freddy Krueger roles, he's also doing, like, hey, look at me, I just popped up and I'm also Freddy Krueger roles.
Yeah.
He's like, he just does those Tom Savini roles.
Mm.
That's what I call them. Like, where Tom Savini just pops up and is like, hey, look, I'm Tom Savini.
You don't like Tom Savini, do you?
No, I don't.
Why is
it? Because he's a prick.
Fair enough. You have told me.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
You heard it here first. You probably didn't hear it here first. But Tom Savini is a prick. If you're listening, Tom, I'm not sorry.
I can't imagine he is.
Yeah. How do we get into that? Oh, Robert Englund being just generally creepy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is that we just associate him with these creepy characters, but he always is a vaguely creepy presence.
Yeah.
Like, even in, like, what is it, Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer, when he's sort of fairly benign teacher.
Yeah.
He still manages to be really creepy.
That's a bad film as well.
I quite like Jack Brooks' Monster Slayer.
It was too slow. The build-up was way too slow and the payoff wasn't good enough.
I got the impression that it was going to be a franchise.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm glad it wasn't.
Yeah, I quite liked it. I've not watched it
I did not like it, but they should have kind of edited out about half of the first two-thirds and extended the last third. Maybe I need to watch it again.
Maybe. I mean, it's not amazing. It didn't blow me away. It was a lot of fun at Fright Fest.
I wonder what those guys have done since.
Who knows? Well, the internet knows. But we're not going to look at that now.
No.
Unless we are. I don't know.
We're not.
Okay. I also really enjoy, there's like a slasher MacGuffin in Wes Craven's New Nightmare where they sort of fake you out by almost hinting that Chase, Langenkamp's boyfriend in the film, is a killer. And I kind of like that. It's kind of cheap.
It's a classic. I liked it. It's a classic.
And like, I'm just going to try and find some notes that aren't boring because I've got loads of notes left and we're quite all the way through already.
We have been gabbing about nothing for quite a while. Yeah.
I've got a note here that said the woman sat next to Heather at the funeral is wearing the world's smallest hat.
Yeah, because that's relevant. Moving on. See, that's why I can't read through my notes, because most of my notes have that kind of crap. Mm. I have written that I thought the film was too long and overly wordy.
Really?
Yes.
Overly wordy.
Yes.
Extrapolate on that, please.
No. Well, I mean, I thought it was too long. That speaks for itself. There was a lot of talking and not enough action. I mean, I know that's where they were going with it. It was a postmodern, self-knowing kind of approach, and that requires a lot of dialogue. But I think they sacrificed some action in favour of dialogue, and they could have edited some of it out.
I think I could see that. I don't really remember, at least.
It's a minor complaint, but I've got that written down, so I thought I'd mention it. I still enjoy the film, despite that. I don't think it's boring or dull for any second, but I think it could have done with being a little bit shorter.
One of the things I really loved, and this was really clever, I thought, was how they used the original film to really sort of ratchet up the tension. Like, you see the sort of extended scene of her, what's her name, being dragged through the corridor.
Yeah.
Sort of intercut with, like, what's really happening. And it's like, shit, something's about to go down. That's really good.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Definitely. I mean, how much more are we going to...
I don't know, I'm just going through now, picking out, like, the best notes.
Okay.
This movie, like you said before, it's more about the threat of Freddy rather than Freddy. It's like if Nightmare on Elm Street was Jaws, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's just sort of there, and you know he's there, so he doesn't need to jump out and like make some sort of witty, snarky comment at you.
Yeah.
And like. And also that analogy, it's almost like he really is Jaws. You don't even see, all you see is the claws. It's like the fin. He's like, all Freddy is just this set of claws, sort of in the background, floating around, being always there, ready to fucking snickety snoinch.
But it doesn't suffer for it. In fact, I think it benefits it.
Yeah, definitely.
I think if I've got anything more relevant written down. One of the points that I made is the only film in the series that isn't part of the ongoing story, which I thought was quite interesting.
What was that, sorry? Say that again.
It's the only film in the series that isn't part of the actual ongoing story.
That's true.
So, I mean, even when Freddy starts to become a bit of a parody of himself, there's always, you know, it moves along. Whereas this is just kind of on its own.
I found that it also sort of, I can't remember why I wrote this, but I must have had I must have seen something that made me say it, that it discusses how much an actor brings to a role, and like Is he saying that it takes a really strong actress to obviously make a character memorable?
Hmm.
I don't know why I wrote that.
So what did you think of the ending? It's almost a little bit Hansel and Gretel-esque, I thought.
Go on, tell me what happens at the end. I've totally fucking forgotten.
I don't know.
I've got a note here that says Freddy equals Mufasa. What could that mean?
Freddy equals what?
Does he like appear in the clouds or something? I think he must do. That must be why I wrote that.
Clearly, yeah. That can be the only plausible explanation.
And there's quite a lot of the original in the final sort of the final act, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I remember now. There's like they go into the boiler room, but it's all sort of really old.
Mm.
Like there's like Greco-Roman statues everywhere and stuff, which kind of implies that, like, I guess that the sort of plot synopsis or summary that you read at the beginning, it kind of implies that is true. Like, it never really occurred to me that while watching the film that Freddy would have been, or that this sort of demonic force was choosing Freddy, was working through Freddy.
Yeah.
But I guess that kind of is maybe explained, or at least hinted at that sort of boiler room scene. Like, a boiler room wouldn't have sort of old statues and stuff like that in it, as a rule, I guess. So it does sort of give it like an age. It sort of ages the force that is Freddy beyond. Beyond like the death of Freddy in the first film.
Mm.
Or what is alluded to the death of Freddy in the first film. And I guess there's also something that's hinted a bit in Freddy vs. Jason, whereas once Heather sort of becomes scared of Freddy in real life, quote unquote real life, Freddy becomes real, which is kind of the same idea they have in a lot of the other films. Like, Freddy's only real if someone remembers him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an idea that's also touched on in some of Terry Pratchett's novels, where it's like, if you believe in a god, suddenly it's there.
Mm.
Suddenly it exists.
It's an interesting concept.
Yeah. But, like, I mean, the ending sort of defies that. But, like, because, like, Freddy doesn't exist in the real world of the movie until Heather becomes scared of him.
Until she acknowledges him, or his presence. Yeah.
It's like, she's getting the phone calls, who are they? Or what if it's Freddy? Suddenly, it is Freddy.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting. But, I mean, to then sort of imply that it's some sort of ancient, demonic force to be reckoned with from forever ago, it kind of contradicts that.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
And, like, I don't understand why this ancient demonic force, if that indeed is what it is, why it would target the actress Heather Langenkamp.
Why the fuck not?
It just seems... It is a bit convenient.
Right, Jamie.
What?
It's a film.
No, it's not. It's real life. Her name's not Heather Langenkamp. I mean, her name is Heather Langenkamp, and therefore it's real life, because otherwise she'd have a different name if it was a film, wouldn't she?
I don't think that's how it works.
You said it was a bit like Hansel and Gretel at the end.
it had elements of.
But yeah, I wrote that down as well.
Did you?
Yeah.
You remember why?
No.
Let's forget that then.
here's a quite an interesting point that I wrote down, and I'll probably make this the last one. Was that he doesn't do anything in New Nightmare that he didn't do in the that he couldn't do in the original.
Hmm.
Whereas, like in the sequels and other stuff, he sort of could possess people and do all that weird stuff. He doesn't do any of that because he couldn't do that in Wes Craven's original vision of what Freddy was.
Yeah.
And I found that really interesting. Like, it does completely disregard the sequels. And it does make Freddy scary again. Because once you give, like, Freddy these ridiculous sort of Superman-esque powers where he's basically some sort of god-like creature that cannot be defeated unless you've got magic dream powers or whatever...
It
makes it more tangible.
Also lends a little bit of weight to what you were just talking about. Like, he only became real when she acknowledged him. Almost like the whole self-fulfilling prophecy thing. Like, if she only knows that he can do this stuff, then he's not able to do anything beyond that. Because she's not aware of it.
Yeah, but I mean, she was in the third one as well. I assume
we're assuming in this film that they're all being disregarded completely anyway, right?
Yeah. It's weird how he disregards them and also acknowledges them fairly frequently.
It's a contradiction, that Wes Craven.
It sure is. So that's all my notes, at least all the interesting ones. I did skip over a few.
Yeah.
Should have made sure I've not skipped over anything particularly scintillating. How did you feel about the bio claw?
I don't know, really. I hadn't thought about it too much. You obviously have thoughts on it. You've mentioned it.
I mean, I guess so. Again, it does sort of tie into that Freddy being more. Well, Freddy not being Freddy, and Freddy just being sort of a conduit for
whatever
someone
it is
else.
Possessing him, almost.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, because, I mean, Freddy's... Again, in the original, Freddy was just Freddy, mm-hmm. and Freddy could only do Freddy things.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at, like, the sequels, Freddy could, like, turn into a giant worm and eat you.
Yeah.
Or, like, turn into a television and smash your face into his chest. And so therefore it does, like, I think that's the one thing that Freddy does in New Nightmare that isn't a Freddy thing. Freddy turns his hand into, or turns his glove into his hand.
I mean
it's interesting. The film does present some contradictions, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It must have been one of, if it wasn't the first, but was this the first movie that showed quite obviously that horror movies adhered to sets of rules? Because obviously we're talking about it being the precursor to Scream in almost every way.
Do they explicitly say that they don't list the rules.
Them like they do in Scream, but they make it quite obvious.
Yeah. I mean, the idea of, like, rules of a slasher film, which, although Freddy is a sort of supernatural being, he is effectively just a slasher villain.
Yeah. He slashes.
He does slash. I mean, those rules have been discussed, like, at length way before this film came out. But maybe not in films.
Not in the same way, I don't think.
I
did quite like all the self-referentiality, though. I think that's what the franchise needed to inject some new life into it, because it, like you were saying, the whole kind of parody that Freddy had become,
yeah,
it was getting a bit stale. Like, you could see the quality decreasing with each one.
I can't imagine another sequel. I can't imagine them making another sequel that wasn't Freddy's Dead after Freddy's Dead.
Mm.
That would have worked better than this.
No, I can't.
I mean, the idea of taking Freddy into new new areas, new worlds. I mean, it is a little bit... It's almost a cop-out, in a way. Like, when you watch... It's almost like... Do you know when you watch remakes of animated shows? I just watched The Smurfs, as I said before. And, like... And... Or when you watch, sort of... big screen adaptations on television programs, they either do two things. They either leave, they all go on holiday together, or they all go to the real world. Mm. And so it's definitely something that we do see quite often, like League of Gentlemen, they all go to the real world. Yeah. Smurfs, they all go to the real world. I'm sure there's millions of others, but those are the two I can think of right now. Mm. So, I mean, it is an easy way to put your character on the back foot.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'd call it a lazy storytelling technique. I mean, if it...
Well,
if
maybe
it
not
works,
lazy, but well
works,
used.
Then, well, yeah, but if it works, why change it? And it does work in this instance quite well.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So I wouldn't necessarily criticise it for using a well-worn technique.
I don't know if I'm criticising it. I'm not sure that's what I'm doing. Mm. But I'm just sort of saying that it is a sort of well-known trope.
Yeah.
And I don't... Maybe not. It is a bit of a cop-out, though. I'm not saying it's used badly or it's...
What would you have
it's
done,
a bad
then?
Thing.
What would you
I don't
done
know. Like, there's not much else you could do, I don't think, without returning... If you wanted to return to sort of the original Freddy.
Yeah. I think this is probably the least cheesy way they could have done it, and... probably the only way that wouldn't expect you to suspend disbelief too much.
Yeah. I mean, the idea that it might not be Freddy and that it is some sort of ancient force using Freddy as a conduit to quote-unquote reality,
yeah,
is a lot more interesting than if Freddy just sort of climbed up the telly and was like, hey, I'm here. I'm back. That's the claws making that noise. So it is more interesting than that, definitely.
Mm. Right, shall we sum up?
We can sum up. I like this film. It does have some problems. But then if it didn't have any problems, then it'd be a perfect film. And that's not going to happen.
No.
Especially not in a Freddy franchise.
Yeah, I see it as more of a guilty pleasure.
Really?
Yeah.
Why is it guilty?
Because it's not great. It's hugely flawed. But I think it's, at the same time, it's a fantastic concept, and it poses some interesting questions and explores some cool themes. But
yeah, and it did open up Wes Craven to make a film like Scream.
Yeah.
Even though, interestingly, like obviously Wes Craven did write this, mm-hmm. but Kevin Williamson wrote Scream.
Yeah.
Do you think they picked Wes Craven to direct it because it was like, oh, he made a sort of self-aware horror film? Or do you think Wes Craven found it and was like, I made a self-aware horror film and this extrapolates on all the things that I said. Maybe I should work on this.
I don't know. I'd be quite surprised if Wes Craven hadn't had something to do with it from its inception. Because it touches on so much of what he started to explore here.
Yeah.
So I'd be very surprised.
But I mean, it is entirely possible that Kevin Williamson just saw the same tropes and saw the same things and said, this is happening, and I could write something around that.
Yeah.
Do you not find in Scream as well, mm-hmm. that even though they tell you everything that's going to happen, it doesn't get boring? That's the thing that just occurred to me, like...
Yeah, it doesn't dampen
Randy effectively anything. Tells you the whole plot of the film, and it's like... Yeah, but it's still really good.
Yeah. No, it's very cleverly done, can't deny
yeah,
that.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, what would you give this out of 10, then?
For New Nightmare?
Yep.
Oh, 6?
I'd probably go as high as 7, to be honest. I really enjoy it. Like I say, I see it as kind of a guilty pleasure, because it is hugely flawed, and the execution isn't... It's far from perfect, but I think it's great. I really enjoy it. Yeah,
well,
so it's 7.
Good. I think, yeah, 6, maybe a 6.5.
Mm.
I mean, it is. It's the best. It's the oh, fuck. How do I say this? Right.
Cannot brain today.
It is the best Nightmare on Elm Street sequel.
Yes, absolutely.
But it's not my favourite Nightmare on Elm Street sequel.
What's your favourite?
Dream Warriors.
Okay.
Easily Dream Warriors. yeah, I mean, have you got a favourite? Is this your favourite?
Probably, actually, yeah. I think it might be.
I think you need to watch The Dream Child again.
Maybe I will. Might hear me back on that next week.
So, new nightmare. Done. Yep. It only took us 7 months.
Done and dusted. Hopefully the next one will be quicker.
Yes.
But we can't make any promises.
We really can't. we managed to waffle for about an hour.
We did.
About that.
God knows how.
I don't know. And I skipped over like a page and a half of notes.
Thank God, really. Because otherwise that would have been uber lengthy.
Yeah, well, they were all pretty silly ones.
Anyway, yeah, we need to make a couple of plugs, don't we?
Yes, go ahead and email us if you've got anything you want to say. Mm-hmm. If we might have missed out, that's interesting. Or even if it's not interesting, we like to read stuff. Regarding New Nightmare or anything else, or the way we sound, or the fact that I'm sat in my High School Musical bedsheets right now.
Oh, wow.
Send an email over to... Is it podcast@gorepress.com?
It is, yeah.
So yeah, email that over. Feel free to whack in any MP3 files or stuff like that. We haven't got the voicemail line anymore. I could probably reset that up if we're going to be doing this more regularly.
More regularly than 7 months.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Also, you can go like our Facebook page over at facebook.com/gorecast. You can go in there for updates on stuff.
Yep. And obviously,
basically just saying there's been 4 updates since we started. That's just saying welcome, and then here's a commentary, and then here's going to be a commentary, and then here we are recording. We should probably like get on that a bit more, but anyway.
And who's been updating it?
I think we've both been updating
it. Who's been updating it?
I think we've both had a hand in it. I'm too busy editing all the podcasts we're recording all the time.
Yeah, it's taking you 7 months to do the last one, is it? Should probably speed up anyway. Yeah, and obviously www.gorepress.com.
yeah,
go to that
and read the reviews
that are mostly done by Scullion,
yeah,
and not us.
I did 2 reviews in the last month or so.
That's the most I've done
in about 2 years. Yeah. But
there's probably more than I've done actually lately.
I did Wrong Turn 4.
Yes.
And what was the other one? Slices of Life.
That sounds... Yeah.
Yeah, I think those were the ones.
Yeah. But, Scullion updates that pretty regularly. So,
yes.
We've got news and new reviews going on there every now and again.
And you can also follow us, both of us, on the old Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm @_dangerous.
I can't remember what I am.
Are you Sarah B. Demented?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
And obviously, at GorePress as well.
Oh, yeah, there's also the @GorePress Twitter account, which is Dave's taken over that one now, hasn't he?
Yes.
So, yeah, follow the whole GorePress family. Does Phil have a Twitter?
He does. I think it's Phil Reaver.
Well, I think maybe I do follow him there.
Reaver.
What film are the Reavers from?
It's a Firefly thing, isn't it?
Oh, that's it, Firefly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
cool.
That about does it.
We'll be back next week.
I don't know
what we're going to do next week.
We were planning on doing a
sort of a wrap-up show, weren't we?
Yeah.
Talk about some of the themes from the month, or the 7 months. and then talk about maybe some news.
Yeah.
And if we get any feedback, we'll come to that as well.
Yeah, let's do that.
Cool. Cool. Okay, well, thanks for listening. If you are listening, if you're not listening,
you're
then fuck
here.
You.
And
we'll see you next week.
Yeah, till next time.
Yes. Ciao.
Bye.